Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California in the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a staff nursery for your children. It would give us great joy to have you be part of our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. We continue our sermon series today that is looking at the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6, 9-13, and in Luke 11, verses 1-4. We'll be in Matthew 6, 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors this morning. Jesus now points his listeners and us towards our spiritual needs. Verses 14 and 15 give even more information about this part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells us there is a link between our forgiveness from God and our willingness to forgive others. Jesus tells several parables about this subject all through the Gospels, like the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. We'll learn some lessons today that will help us better understand and apply this part of the Lord's Prayer to our own lives. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday. May God bless you this week with His grace and His mercy. Let the light of God's face shine on all of us. Thank you for listening.
We come to worship God, the living God.
We come praising God for the past and trusting God.
We come to join our will to God's will, to make God's purpose our purpose, and to make God's love our love.
We come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the beauty and the joy of this day. How good it is to be gathered as your church on earth. Challenge and stir us to deeper devotion, more loving service, and help us be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem is that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, sung by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick.
Oh,
our scripture lessons are read by Susan Berger. They're followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Heart to Heart, Give Us Today.
Our first reading for today is from Psalm 145, verses 9 through 16. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will exalt you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domination endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all to you look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from John chapter 6, verses 28 through 33. Then they ask him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here ends our lessons.
I want to say congratulations to the Lady Pintos as well for having a big win yesterday against Skyline High School, traditional powerhouse in a Class 2, and so it was a great game. But even before the varsity game started, we had a special thing. The national anthem recording messed up, and it kept messing up. And then when it messed up the last time, sitting behind me was Stacy and some of the other ones, and they were already singing. And if you were at the game yesterday, it was a wonderful sound. We were all joining together singing the national anthem. We didn't need no stinking recording, did we? It was very beautiful, and I appreciate that very much. And so that was a great day. I know we have a lot of guests, and there's a lot of things that are a regular part of our worship. We have some laminated sheets that are in front of you that would be in the back of the hymnal there or in the pew in front of you. Just make sure if you want to follow along with those things, those are right there as well. I'm going to start calling this part of our pews down here our recovery wing. The last couple of weeks, we've had Sue Latham here, and Mary started down here recovering from her knee surgery, and it's been almost 3 months now since Bill's been here. And Paul brought him, his brother Paul brought him to church today, and so I'm so thankful to have Bill back, have him back at church, because it's been 3 months, so I'm just glad to have you here, bud, all right? So, you want to hold hymn number 250, Break Thou the Bread of Life. That's going to be our hymn after the sermon this morning. You want to get that ready. We're going to continue our sermon series. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. It's called Heart to Heart, knowing that we just don't want to recite a prayer. We want this prayer to come from our heart. And that's what God's trying to get across to his people. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to us as well. And this morning, we're going to focus on that small part that's in there. Give us today our daily bread. We see that word bread all through the scriptures. We see it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. They're part of the Lord's Prayer. We see it again in Luke chapter 11, verse 3 there as well. And if you read through the rest of the chapter of Luke chapter 11, you see Jesus uses an illustration to tell us to pursue prayer, to be persistent in our prayer. And he uses the illustration of bread. Someone comes late at night and they're asking for bread because bread was very prominent all through from the beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. And we see it there in Proverbs chapter 30. The writer of that proverb asked, he said, God, these are the two things I want, the only two things I want. He says, first of all, in chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, he says, two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. One, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Don't let me have a lying tongue. Let me have truthful speech. And then the second one is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Don't make me real poor or real rich, but give me only my daily bread. He says, I just want enough for the day. We see Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. Satan said, hey, you've got the power. Just turn these stones into bread. And Jesus looked at him and said, It is man shall not live by bread alone. And we just read the verses. Susan just read them just a few moments ago in John chapter 6, that the true bread of heaven came down from God himself. And so when we see bread, it's all through the scriptures. Last Sunday, we go from seeking God, giving him praise, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now we come to our basic physical needs. It's the only part of the Lord's Prayer where he talks about receiving stuff, physical things. He talks about food. He talks about bread. Bread was the most basic part of their lives and their diet. And their bread's not like our bread today. It's not cut up in the loaves, but it was more of a flat, circular, disc-like looking bread. And it only rose about an inch, a half inch. And if you read or got the email about Right Now Video and the different videos about the Lord's Prayer, if you've watched some of those, one of them dealt with a man telling the story about the Lord's Prayer while he was going through Israel. And in the background, there was a lady making bread. And you see them partake of that bread as he tells the stories about the Lord's Prayer. And it took a lot of work to make bread back then. They grew the wheat or the barley. They ground it into flour. They had to knead it, make it, you know, and bake it and make it the way that they wanted. You know, they might go down to a local shop and they may have some bread for sale or for trade, but it still took effort and it still took resources. But bread was not only a central part of their diet, it was a central part of their faith. When they celebrated Passover, or they called it the festival of unleavened bread, it reminded them of how fast they had to leave Egypt when they, you know, they got out of there and they went across the Red Sea. It reminded them they did not have time to make bread the way that they usually did. They could not put yeast into it. We also see them bread in the Holy of Holies, the special place in the temple. They would have 12 loaves of unleavened bread every Sabbath put out on a special table called a table of showbread to remind them again of this special kind of bread. And then we see Jesus, his last time around his disciples, when they celebrated the Passover meal, he took bread and he told them, "This is my body. You know, do this in remembrance of me." And so he instituted the Lord's Supper with bread. And when we look at the Heidelberg Catechism, when we repeat this verse, "Give us today our daily bread," this is what it says. It is to provide for all of our bodily needs, so that by so doing we may know that you are the only source of all good, and that without your blessing, none of the stuff that we have, we would have. Therefore, may we shift our trust away from all creatures and place it in you alone. So when we recite this one little part of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," what lessons can we learn from it? And if you want to follow along, in the back of your bulletin is the outline of the sermon with a lot of verses to go along. The very first lesson we learn is that God cares about our most basic physical needs. And if we learn to trust our Heavenly Father with our most basic physical needs, we will learn to trust him with the biggest needs of our life. And the Israelites knew this from their earliest time. We see in the garden, God provided them all they needed to survive. When they escaped Egypt, they get into the desert, probably not the best place to grow wheat or to grow barley. And so the people start to grumble. They start to say, "Hey, at least in Egypt we had food. At least we had water. What is God doing? Is he brought us all the way out in this desert? So we're just going to starve to death." And this is what the Lord told Moses in Exodus 16. He says, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as what they gather on the other days." All of chapter 16 of Exodus is about providing for basic physical needs. Chapter 15 and chapter 17 are about providing water, providing quail, providing bread for the ones there so they would have their most basic need met. But they still had to go out and gather it up. He would tell them, you know, you need to pick up an omer. That was kind of a weight measurement. Basically 3 pounds of bread every day. Bring that into your house, and that's going to be more than enough for you. Don't do any more than that. But he had some people that heard that, but they said, "You know, hey, I need a little bit more than 3 pounds. You don't understand. I'm a little bit bigger person. I need a little bit more to make it on." And so they gathered a little bit more than what they were supposed to, and what did they find out the next day? That bread had maggots in it, and it started to stink. So they weren't paying attention to what God had told them. And then he told them that he wanted them to keep this bread, a part of it, in the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted them to be reminded that their most basic needs were taken care of. I think it's interesting. The name manna sounds really nice. You know, manna from heaven. But that what that stands for in Hebrew is, what is it? That's what it means in Hebrew. They didn't know exactly what it was, but it tasted like wafers with a little bit of honey. I wanted a little bit of honey just like Mike Robertson's honey. Maybe a little bit of that honey was on it. But it's a reminder to us today as well that their daily bread, their most basic physical needs, bread, meat, and water, God provided. And He does the same for us today. He cares for us just the same as they did back then. And this part of the prayer is our daily reminder of that manna in the jar in the Ark of the Covenant. Fast forward to Jesus' time. He's feeding the 5,000. It's one of the only events recorded in all four Gospels. But in John chapter 6, you know, Jesus has a great crowd around Him. And they're coming and He looks at Philip and it's getting late in the day. And He says, how are we going to feed all these people? Why don't you go into town and buy them enough food? And Philip says, man, it'd take a year's wages to take care of this crowd. And Jesus says, okay, we'll take care of it. They get a little, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And He blesses them there. And it says that they ate as much as they wanted. And when they had had enough to eat, He told them all, go out there and gather all the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered and filled up 12 baskets with the pieces of barley loaves left over. He not only provides for us, but He gives us more than what we need. We see Elijah in the ravine after he's told the land that they're not going to have any rain, that God brought bread to him by the raven. And then when he crossed paths with a widow and she was running out of food because of the drought, he said, hey, make a little bread for me. Make a little bread for you and your son. And because of your faith, I guarantee you that your flour never run out and your oil will never run out as well. We recognize that God provides even the most basic needs. Nothing comes from ourselves. When you read from the end of Matthew chapter 6, He drives this point home. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. God knows you need those things. See, when we take time to pray for the blessing on our food, we take a time out from the world and everything around us, and we recognize that I'm not the reason for what's in front of me. I'm just a means. God is the source. Everything it took to get this bread, the labor, the resources, the physical abilities, the blessing from the sun, the rain, all the work from the farmers, it all came from God Himself. And that leads us to our second lesson, that God is the only source for our bread. We have lots of means. We have lots of avenues to get God's blessing, but He reminds us here that He is the only source. We read Psalm 145 just a second ago. It says, the eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food at the proper time. You open Your hand and You satisfy the desires of every living thing. And as I was reading that psalm this week, I said, you know, I'm going to read the chapter before, I'm going to read the chapter after, and see if there's anything else that goes along. And look at Psalm 144. This is what the psalmist wrote. He says, our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. They'll have so much blessing that wagons will be weighed down. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread as a statement of trust that God is the source. Everything else around us are the means to receive from the source. One of my favorite visual verses in the Bible is Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. To know that God provides the best, you just can't look at it. You've got to taste Him. You've got to take Him internally. I brought some bread with me today. All right, not regular bread, not bread from back then, but I brought some bread with me. And I made something with this bread. I made it my favorite meal. My favorite meal is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. All right, Betty was gone yesterday. Her dad turned 81 yesterday, and she went back to go visit him. And I'm left on my own. I'm kind of limited with my meals. I took one meal at the Burger House with my daughter. That took care of one meal. But in the morning, I had toasted peanut butter with honey. Mike, I had your honey, that little jar that you gave. So I had some honey. That took care of my breakfast. And then I got extravagant for dinner. I had toasted peanut butter and jelly for dinner. All right? And so I brought this with me to share. And see, when you set up front, you get blessings. All right? You said in the back, you don't know. But, you know, Hayden, if I was to give you this bread right here, if I let you look at it, yeah, look at it, all right. That's the grape jelly right there, and this is the honey bunch over here, all right. So I'll let you decide what you want. Out in town, out in the country, They rejected my bread. Nobody took one piece of it. Cody, do you want a piece of my peanut butter? You're not hungry. What about over here, Sophia? You want it? This is grape jelly right here. You got to write this right here? No? Man. Sue, help me out over here. The honey's right here. God bless you right there. There you go. All right. Bill, we want to... I've got honey right here and peanut butter right there. There you go right there. Paul, you want to take some? Go ahead right there. That's the peanut butter and the honey right there. Okay, all right. Well, you guys hold on a second. I'm just going to have a little bite to eat right here. Huh? This doesn't do you any good, Stacy. It doesn't do anybody any good unless they eat it, unless they take it internally. God's the resource. Hold on a second. I should have thought this through with peanut butter. Here we go. That's good. You guys need a drink of water? Don't need mine. But this prayer is a reminder that if we're going to take part in God's blessings, we've got to receive them. We've got to eat them. We've got to partake in them. It does us no good to say, boy, that looks good. It smells good. God looks good. It looks good to be at church. It looks good to be in church. But if we never take God internally, we never get to enjoy the blessing of His food. And this prayer is a reminder that God provides for us just what we need. He didn't say, give us today our daily shelter or our daily donkey or our daily cow or daily clothes. Bread was that visual reminder to the Hebrews that God had provided for 40 years, that He's going to provide for us now and He's going to provide for us in the future. And we've always said about it, He tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat, but then He ends chapter 6 with this. He says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Doesn't that sound like the very first part of the Lord's Prayer? But see, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, if you'll seek my will, if you give my acknowledgement that I am the true source, I'm going to give you the blessings that you need, the basic daily blessings that we need to survive. But so many times we get confused with the source and the means all the time. We might say it's my labor, it's my job, it's my sweat and blood, it's my paycheck. Those are the means by which God blesses us. He is the only source. Peter finally figured that out from the very first time he met Jesus. Jesus came down to the edge of the water. He had a great crowd following him. They were listening to his teaching. He couldn't get to the whole crowd, so he asked Peter if he could get in the boat with him, if they could set out so he could talk to the people on the shore. Jesus gives his message. People, everybody listens. They go to leave, and then Jesus turns to Peter, and he says, hey, go out into deep water. Throw your nets up. Let's catch some fish. Peter looks at him and says, Jesus, we've been out all night long. We haven't caught one fish. But because it's you, I'll do it. I don't know if Peter heard what Jesus had said, knew that this was a different dude that was in his boat. But he went out into the water. He threw that net out. When he started to pull it up, there was so much fish, it started to swamp his boat. He called a friend's boat over. They had so much fish, it almost sank their boat. That's when Peter realized, he says, I'm not the source. Jesus is. And when Peter came to that point in his life and he recognized who Jesus was, he was ready to be used for him for his service. And it's the same with us today. When we realize that He's the source, we're the means, God can do great things through our service for Him and His kingdom. And when we don't think we have enough strength to do His will and His kingdom, it's too hard, it's too much, there's too much to do, and I don't think I have enough, this prayer is a reminder that He provides our daily bread, our daily sustenance, and our daily energy to go on, which leads us to our third and final lesson. Praying for daily bread guards against greed and selfishness. We started out with Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 8. He asked for two things only. And like Paul Harvey, I'm going to give the rest of the story. Why did he ask for only two things? It's found in verse 9. He says, otherwise I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, there's dangers in both extremes. He says, just give me what I need, because if I don't have enough, I might cut corners. I might abandon my faith. I might not trust in your promises that you are going to provide, and I might steal to provide for my daily bread. But then on the other hand, if you give me too much, I might then think it is my resources, that it is my effort, that it's all my hard work, and I might forget about you. And that is a danger
in the United States because we're blessed with so much. I remembered of one of Aesop's fables, the goose that laid the golden egg. And for the children may have not heard that, this is how it goes. There once was a countryman who possessed the most wonderful goose you could imagine. For every day when he visited the nest, the goose laid a beautiful, glittering golden egg. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? Gold's at $1,600 an ounce right now. That'd be a pretty neat trick. The countryman took the eggs to the market and soon began to get rich. But it was not long before he grew impatient with the goose because she gave him only one single golden egg a day. He was not getting rich quick enough. Then one day after he'd finished counting his money, the idea came to him that he could get all the golden eggs at once by killing the goose and cutting it open. But when the deed was done, not a single golden egg did he find, and his precious goose was dead. And this is the moral of the story. Those who have plenty want more, and so lose all they have. And when we pray for our daily bread, it's guarding against greed, guarding that we want more than what we can get for the day so we can store it away and hoard it. That is the lesson of manna, and that's the part of this Lord's Prayer, to be content what we have been blessed with each and every day. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool that had a great harvest, and instead of sharing his bread with others, he tore down his barns, built bigger barns so he could keep everything to himself. He says, I have plenty of grain stored up for many years. He says, all this grain will take care of me for years. I'm not concerned about today. I'm concerned about the future. And Jesus said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. See, when we pray that prayer, it says, give us each day our daily bread. Not my daily bread. Again, he uses the plural. We're all one family. If we have plenty, we are to share the bread that we have with others around us. The early church did that. They had needs in their community. In Acts chapter 6, they went about the daily distribution of the food. They made sure the people that were around them had what they needed. We see at the great judgment when he's separating the sheep and the goats, Jesus says, what's the first thing that he says that the people did that are the sheep? When I was hungry, you fed me. How we share our bread has an impact on our eternal destiny. William Booth said this, you cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet. If we have people around us that are hungry, that are in need, God's watching to see how we share our daily bread. It has an impact on our eternal destination. How can we apply these lessons from this part of the Lord's Prayer? That God meets our basic physical needs. God is the only source of our daily bread. Praying for daily bread guards against greed and self. And how we put those lessons into place. When you're praying over your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or you're praying over your bowl of cereal in the morning, it's a reminder that God's provision is for you and to serve Him. Make it a point to acknowledge at our meals that God is the provider of our resources and take comfort that daily that God's guiding hand is always with us. When we take that approach, it frees our hearts from the possibility of greed, hoarding, and abandoning our trust in God's command. And when we do that, we come to the same place that Peter did, recognizing that Jesus is the source, His Father's the source, and we are means and we are His servants. When we trust Him with our most basic physical needs, I still got a few left. I'll have them in the back if somebody wants them. Then we can trust Him with the most important need that we have, spiritual bread, His Bible. Just as John wrote, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Consider ways to trust and give God praise for the most basic of blessings. And if you have not eaten of the true bread of heaven, if you've not taken part in the feast that He's laid out before us, coming to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and making Him a more important part of your life, that feast, that banquet is always open. But we've got to taste it. We got to partake in it. And I'm going to finish up my sandwich right here. It only does good if you take it internally.